If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Lock your doors and pull up your socks. That's my mother used to say. I don't know why, but that's what she used to say.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Lock your doors and pull up your socks. Matt Derrick is here on Almost Entirely Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Matt Derrick. Read his work at ChiefsDigest.com. He's written Chiefs books that you probably have already because you're a Chiefs fan and a smart person. You're smart, talented, attractive. I believe in you because you've bought Matt's book. And if you haven't, none of those things are true until you do. How are you, Matt?
I am doing well, Josh. How about yourself?
I'm doing better now that we have slowly been unraveling and creating the menu for the Kansas City Chef's restaurant. This started with a really off the rails analogy about Chris Jones and has now turned into a menu. Can I pitch you? Could I get you a table here at the Chef's?
Absolutely. I am seeing a lot of interesting responses on the Twitter. So
yeah, and some of those have made it, and some of those haven't. I'll just give you some of our specials for today. We do recommend, certainly among the appetizers, it's hard to turn away from the Jet Wasp chips. They are fully loaded spicy nachos. They're actually on some house cut like pub chips. But then there's a spicy habanero aioli, some both sliced pickled and chopped raw jalapenos. Buffalo chicken atop it. So that's one of our most popular appetizers, the Jet Wasp chips.
I have a feeling if you actually had a restaurant, everything would come with an aioli on it.
That's absolutely fair. Yeah, no, 100%. If you didn't want an aioli on anything, you would have to say so, including the desserts.
That or donkey sauce, either one.
I'm a big donkey sauce guy. This is very Guy Fieri inspired, I would say. This is sort of the love child of the Chiefs and Guy Fieri. Even though he's a Raiders fan, I imagine we can get him on board for this.
I do like the Jet Wasp chips. I mean, that sounds really good. I mean, maybe a little bit, you know, the habanero I'm not a huge fan of, but everything else that you're talking about there, yeah, absolutely.
Well, we'll bring you one of those, and then for an entree, right now our special is the 24-0 ounce Texas steak. That's on the menu for you. It's because it goes from 24 to 0 ounces on your plate before you can even see what's happening.
That is clever.
That was Beards's, which does pain me to admit. You won't want to punt this steak, is what I always say. For dessert, we do have the Honey Badger cream-filled lava cake. It's like a lava cake because, you know, badgers burrow. That one, you know, that one's a bit laborious. I'm going to take that one back to the drawing board. I can admit that.
That one needs some work, yeah. But the dish itself is fantastic. But yeah, the name concept needs a little polish.
If you're coming in with a slightly larger party and you might want to try a couple of appetizers, not only do we have the Jet Wasp chips, we also have the 65 Tots powered snack.
That's easy to say.
That was from Twitter, and it says, it's just so stupid. I love it so much. And then our other entree on special today, our last special of the day right now, we have a barbecue platter, which comes with pulled pork butt kicker, Anthony Sherman smoked sausage, and a side of McColl slaw.
Oh. Oh, you had me till the McColl slaw.
It's on the side.
Oh, even then, I always have concerns with you and Anthony Sherman and the sausage.
That's fair.
Because, you know, I'm assuming that there would have to be a giant picture of you taking a photo of Anthony Sherman in this restaurant.
Yeah, that's on the wall somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere. It's got to be.
Someone on Twitter has also reminded me that this restaurant just has tacos now. Well, it's not a big deal. It's just there are tacos. They're Charlton tacos that are just there now. That one's too easy, honestly. We can't have a guy on the team with a food name. That makes it too easy. I will continue keeping an eye on Twitter as this goes, but we can put you down for a reservation opening night.
I'm on board. Oh, hey, okay. I like Fisher and Chips. That's not bad.
Yeah, Eric Fisher and Chips is pretty good. Liver and onions, not good. Clyde Edwards eclairs for dessert are very good.
Oh, I am all over those.
Yeah, that's
sign me up for those.
Yeah, that's very good. Duran cherry pie is a nice little throwback. That's excellent. There's just a lot going on in here. Allie Trost has said that her mother has stepped in with the phrase, "You got to fight for your right to pate," which is so excellent. We also are putting Scott Pioli in charge of keeping everything tidy.
No candy wrappers on the floor of this restaurant.
Absolutely none. And Todd Haley is not allowed in. He can get delivery.
And if you've got an Andy Reid cheeseburger, that's all you need.
I have to imagine. It's called the Big Red, of course. It's certainly rare and perfect.
Is there such a thing as like a Hawaiian shirt burger?
Oh, it's just a Hawaiian burger.
Okay.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, the Big Red Hawaiian burger is excellent, Beards.
The Tommy Bahama burger.
Is the plate like look like a Hawaiian shirt?
Yes. Yeah, tastefully, but yes. And you've got like a pineapple.
Oh, this is nothing but a tasteful restaurant, Josh.
No, you're right. It's a pineapple sphere, a pineapple like disc. A sphere would be really hard to eat. It's got a pineapple disc and maybe a slice of pepper jack cheese, a little guacamole. Yeah, straight up. Maybe some bacon on there. The Andy Reid, the Big Red Hawaiian burger is perfect. That's great. I think that's the end of the bit.
I'm going to be thinking about food puns and Chiefs now for the rest of the week.
Please let me know because I'm trying to come up with a winner, but
one's just escaping me right now because the low hanging fruit is gone. So,
which is usually, in fairness, that's usually when this show stops trying to pick more fruit. It's because the low hanging fruit is gone. So are we. We move on to the next thing, try to find some more low hanging fruit.
Yeah, because right now I'm trying to make something. I'm trying to make a sandwich out of Andrew Wiley.
Let's just mark that out of context. That'll be baffling. That'll be completely, absolutely stunning, and I'll forget all of this happened because I have the memory of a goldfish.
This is my project for the rest of the week. Thank you. I've got nothing else to do.
Wow. I also just realized I'm only seeing some of my notifications right now. So yeah, this will be. I'm excited to work out this menu. I haven't created a menu in Photoshop or in Illustrator or InDesign or whatever since college. That was a project at one point, and I learned how to do that pretty well. So I might eventually have to just make a full menu, and then try to get some venture capitalist to fund it. Now it seems like a pretty good time to start a restaurant.
I think like an absolutely fine time. I mean, you couldn't pick a better time than right now.
Jet Wasp chips are the only thing that if someone steals that, I'm going to be pissed about because I think that is such a good idea. If someone needs to pay me for it and then bring them to me, actually, is really all that I need.
I mean, there's a place up in Liberty that's got the Jet Wasp chip burger.
Yeah. These are the Jet. I can't remember specifically what that is. The Jet Wasp chips. Those are mine. That's property of Joshua Briscoe.
Yeah. Some fresh made kettle chips.
Yeah.
That's what you got to have.
Yeah. Maybe some coleslaw on the side. Anyway, I'm very glad that we have that. But I did also want to ask you about Chris Jones, Matt, because the reason that analogy started was because literally everyone who would have an idea about this. What have you sent me, Beard? What is going on?
Oh, I found the burger, the Jet Wasp chip burger.
Is it called Jet Wasp chip or is it Jet Chip Wasp burger?
It is the Wasp burger.
Okay.
There you go.
See, I've changed the game by moving the word chip to the end.
Do you want me to read the description of what it is?
Sure, yes.
This burger is nothing light with 2 quarter-pound ground biscuit patties, 1/2 pound Chipotle pepper jack sauce.
Did you mean brisket?
What did I say?
Biscuit.
Yes.
That sounds very, very bready.
Jack sausage, or 1/2 pound Chipotle pepper jack sausage, smoked jalapeno and garlic aioli, cheddar cheese, and a bed of pickled jalapenos. This burger will burn you faster than Mahomes to Hill. And you can find it at the Jousting Pig.
That's
in Liberty.
It's actually terrifying. I feel like that just ends with you have like just a hole in your stomach, like you're in your torso. I'm not sure
it's got an aioli. Come on.
But it has an aioli. I would, no question. I would absolutely destroy that burger. Just like Sammy Watkins destroyed Richard Sherman. Do we need to have something reptilian?
Yeah, I was trying to think of some sort of, you know, Sammy Watkins rap or something, but
Sammy Watkins alligator bites?
I guess, you know, hey, Bashad Breeland had a rap album, so, you know, maybe he's, you know, get a good, you know, Bashad Breeland rap.
Bashad Breeland and Sammy Watkins both, I think, have some deep wells that we can draw from here, because we have every, I think Sammy Watkins alligator bites is pretty good. Bashad Breeland, I think that's excellent. A rap you can hold, also all good. Sammy Watkins is interesting. The advanced reptilian fried green beans.
Oh, dear.
I didn't say any of these have been good.
You're very punny, Josh.
Thank you.
Very punny.
Thank you, Matt. I am going to ask you about Chris Jones now.
I have no idea why.
So the reason this started is the analogy that I've had is that everyone I've talked to has been like, yeah, I mean, the Chiefs do want Chris Jones on this team. And I continue to, like, I believe that on its face. I mean, we've talked about also, like, what did that really mean and everything. But I believe that on its face while also having what I would say is a fair question of like, man, if you really, really prioritize this guy, you would have gotten him done, locked up for the long term sooner. And so I was saying, you know, it's like the Andy Reid and Brett Veach and Clark Hunt are all at a table and someone has come up to say, hey, did you save room for dessert? It's Chris Jones. Like, oh, man, we really loaded up on chips earlier, on Jet Wasp chips and the Mahomes $500 million entree and all of that. You know, I don't know if we have room anymore, which feels like an interesting dichotomy of we want this guy around, but also now we're at this deadline. And we're not really, the restaurant's about to close, and we're not sure if we're ordering or not. Do you have any further thoughts about kind of that dichotomy as we do stand now, just a couple days away from the deadline to get a long-term deal done?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of hit what's been going through my head, which is, you know what, actions speak louder than words. Mm. And the Chiefs, yes, they have said all the right things in regards to, we love Chris Jones, we want to keep Chris around, you know, we'd like to get something worked out, but they've done nothing to show that, to actually get it done. And, I mean, we know certain things. I mean, we know that if the Chiefs were interested in paying Chris Jones at the top end of the market for a defensive tackle, the deal would have been done. I mean, there'd be no reason. I mean, if they were offering Chris Jones $21 million for 5 years per, that would be a done deal. There's no reason, there's no way that Chris Jones would turn that down. So clearly, that's the issue, is that, you know, these two sides are just not on the same page. And whether or not that can happen before Wednesday, I can't rule anything out. I mean, you know, once you get the Mahomes deal done, I mean, anything can happen. And there's a lot of moving parts to this, I mean, because of just all the uncertainty up there in the air. But, you know, all that keeps coming back down to the two things for me, and the first one is just that, like you said, I mean, if they had wanted to get it done and they were really close to getting it done, I think we would see a lot more progress and it would be pretty easy. And two is that if Chris Jones wants to be paid like one of the best defensive tackles in the league, I don't see how they fit that into the salary cap over the next two seasons. You know, this year they can keep him. I mean, he's baked in. I mean, they've planned all along knowing that they could keep Chris Jones at 16.1 under the franchise tag, but you look to 2021 with all of the COVID concerns and what's going to happen to the salary cap, and there's just simply no spot for Chris Jones there. And everything the Chiefs have done, their actions certainly seem to be, we want Chris Jones for 2020, but it sure doesn't sound like that they, you know, are planning on having Chris Jones for 3 years.
Yeah, so I mean, with all of that being said, how do you make all of that make sense? How do you rationalize? Is it just the words being, we value Chris Jones as a player and really want him on this run it back campaign, but the Chiefs truly don't value him as one of the top three interior pass rushers in the league? Is it a case of mismanaging money, and so they can't pay him like a top three interior pass rusher, but they think he is one? Eventually, there's an inconsistency that I feel like has to come to the forefront here, and I'm just sort of curious as to what your best guess of that would be.
Well, I mean, I still think that the worst thing that happened for the Chiefs and Chris Jones, and I say worst because that makes it sound, this is going to sound kind of funny,
sure,
was for Chris Jones to go out and get 15 and a half sacks in 2018. Because the Red Beach had a plan. I mean, even going back to this first day as general manager, he alluded to this with the, you know, the Patrick Mahomes deal. Even back in 2017, he had a plan. I mean, he felt that Patrick Mahomes was going to be a superstar and that he was going to get a big contract. They were going to work out an extension. And even on his first day, I mean, he was telling us, you've got to identify the guys that you want to keep and sign them up long term. And if that means, you know, you get them done after year three so that they, you don't let the guys that you want to keep ever go into a final season without a contract. I mean, that was literally the words out of Brett Veach's mouth.
Yeah.
And that was his philosophy. So, you know, if you wanted to keep Chris Jones around long term, you could never let him get into the final year of the contract. We saw the same thing play out with Dee Ford. We've seen the same thing play out with some other players, you know, if in the short period of time Veach has been GM. If there's somebody you want, you just don't let them enter that last year of the contract. You sign them up long term. And I think that would have absolutely been part of their plan, except Chris Jones goes out and gets 15 and a half sacks. He comes back to the table. Chiefs go out. They sign Frank Clark. They bring him in, sign him, give him $20 million per. And Chris Jones is there saying, wait a minute, I want my $20 million per, because I've already done that for you guys. I want to be paid like one of the best defensive tackles because I'm putting up the stats.
Yeah.
And had Chris Jones been available for an extension, if he'd gone out and said 8.5 sacks in 2018 and was willing to sign for 5 years for 72, this probably gets done. But, you know, after that 2018 season with his breakout, I think that changed the entire equation.
I know this is a weird time to then be critical of Brett Veach. Like, I know this is an unpopular, you know, if that is what I'm ultimately doing here, I know that's an unpopular time because they just won a Super Bowl and then locked up Mahomes for a decade. But I just straight up don't understand the evaluation process that leaves you not being willing to pay Chris Jones. I understand not being the same value as you could have gotten him at if he hadn't had that breakout season. I understand that he got more expensive, and you know, between last year and this year, he got more expensive because he got more leverage. I understand that the price goes up, but if the Chiefs right now, and tell me if you don't think this is the case, but if they value him at $18 million a year right now, and he's dead set on 20 per year, I can't imagine letting him walk over a couple million dollars in average annual value. I know that that all adds up, and I get it. But if you're talking about the difference between having Chris Jones and not having Chris Jones being Damian Williams or Dan Sorensen or something like that, I feel like the math has really gotten lost in there, and at some point we're doing math for math's sake.
Yeah, and I think that's a legitimate question, which, I mean, brings you back to the point about what value do the Chiefs peg Chris Jones?
Yeah.
And I think the only thing you could come across with is that they value him less than that as far as the value goes. And I think that some of that plays into the actual market conditions because, you know, Aaron Donald's deal is kind of an outlier to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Hey, don't put Chris Jones in Aaron Donald's category because he's not Aaron Donald.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think there's a legitimate argument there. Now, hey, you can compare him favorably to the DeForest Buckner deal, and I think that's exactly what Chris Jones would be saying is, hey, I'm pretty much like that.
Yeah.
But what's the difference between, you know, DeForest Buckner and, you know, Clowney?
Yeah.
And what's going on with him? And, you know, if he ends up signing a deal, you know, that's in this $9, $10 million range, you know, could you legitimately argue that Chris Jones is closer to that than he is Aaron Donald? I think you could probably make that argument. I mean, and so some of it maybe is just simply the, you know, current market conditions. Maybe 12 months ago, the Chiefs would have been willing to maybe meet a little bit closer to $20 million. Maybe if their valuation was a little bit lower, maybe they still would have moved up. But now I think with the current market, it just makes it so much more difficult to do that, and especially after you've gotten the Mahomes deal done.
Yeah. I just pulled up, like, on Over the Cap. They've got contract values and prices by position and everything. And now I don't know why J.J. Watt is listed as an interior defensive lineman, so I'm going to go ahead and skip him. But the guys above Chris Jones's value for this year, their average per year, they've got Chris Jones at, you know, being worth $16 million per year because that's what he's making in his one-year deal he's currently tagged on. But above him, you can see, again, the list goes, Geno Atkins, J.J. Watt, Grady Jarrett, Fletcher Cox, DeForest Buckner, and then Aaron Donald. You don't have to think that he's Aaron Donald to think that he's the next guy after him and that gap there exists. But like you said, I mean, maybe the Chiefs just don't value him in that spot for all those reasons that you laid out there. But, like, you could do the same thing. You know, if you want to say, hey, why is Jadeveon Clowney out on the open market right now? What is his hang up? That's totally fair, but by average annual value, they're paying Frank Clark as the third highest paid edge rusher in football. And is that his value? Is he worth more than Von Miller and Trey Flowers right now? Maybe. Is he really close to Khalil Mack and DeMarcus Lawrence? Maybe. But those specific sort of the willingness to give Frank Clark that money and the unwillingness to give it to Chris Jones, still, I might be asking the same question in like a third frustrated way, but that still doesn't totally make sense to me.
Well, and, you know, I was talking about actions versus words earlier, and, you know, just focusing on the words, this is interesting to me. And, hey, maybe if the Chiefs end up getting a deal done with Chris Jones, maybe the words that Brett Veach uses will change because, you know, comparing the situation between him and Frank Clark, after Frank Clark signs this big deal with the Chiefs, you heard Brett Veach selling Frank Clark, saying that they believe that he was a premier edge rusher in this league.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Brett Veach was trying to just sell the signing because mm-hmm. it was so big, and you're right. I mean, you are making him the third highest paid, so you better say that you think he's the third best pass rusher in the league.
Right.
But you've heard Brett Veach utter that, you know, that they believe that Frank Clark is that good, that he is one of the premier edge rushers in the league. He's never said that about Chris Jones. They've never praised Chris Jones in that way. And maybe that some of that will change if they get a deal done. Then all of a sudden it's going to be, hey, we paid Chris Jones this much money because we believe that he is premier defensive tackle in this league. But they've never said that. And that's interesting to me.
Yeah, it's interesting to me also. The other thing is that they so clearly, no shade to you know, Derek Nnadi and Mike Pinnell and what and everybody, but they, Colin Saunders, they clearly would have a tremendous fall off from Chris Jones, whoever would be next at defensive tackle, and I think, and all, I mean, also again, Jones can clearly kick out to edge. He did it a bunch last year. I think they have to, even if they value Chris Jones at a value lesser than I would, I have to think they're tremendously aware of how much that drop would be for this season. And even if the logic there is there'd be a drop off, but we'll get him to play under the tag in 2020 and then tag him again and trade him next offseason or whatever, which again is still frustrating to me. But if that all happens and then they can invest the pick that they get back for Chris Jones on another interior pass rusher or something, I guess I could see that coming down the line, but it feels like they're bringing all of that skepticism you've laid out for Chris Jones without having any sort of additional depth at the position outside of him.
Yeah, and I think some of that is, you know, a long-term trade-off decision. I mean, they built this budget with the idea that, and at least this is the way it looks. I mean, it certainly looks like they've built this budget with the plan being that they would have Chris Jones playing for them at a franchise-type value for the 2020 season. And then beyond that, you know, you've given your money to Frank Clark. I mean, that's your money that's going into who's going to be your pass rusher. And, you know, you can't have everything that you want in the NFL. I mean, there is a salary cap. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to start paying your quarterback big money, and, yeah, I mean, they've got a very favorable deal with Patrick Mahomes for the next few seasons, but his cap value is still going up. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to account for that. And you've got the Tyreek Hill. You know, you probably need to get something done with Travis Kelce. I mean, you've got other places to spend your money. And you start looking at all those priorities, and then, yeah, I think that's where it becomes a little bit more clear that, you know what, maybe if you're going to start saving money, that's a place where you're going to have to, because you can't afford everything. And maybe the luxury of having a guy like Chris Jones is something that you just can't afford anymore. And you look at some of the moves. I mean, drafting Colin Saunders certainly seemed like a preparing for not having Chris Jones around. They've made some other moves. You know, they've got a lot of numbers there on the defensive line. And we'll see if anything adds up out of those numbers. But, I mean, everything that they've done certainly seems like it's been with the plan to have Chris Jones for one season. And there's a lot of gamesmanship, it feels like, between both sides. I mean, even with Chris Jones saying that, you know, maybe he will sit out in 2020, that all seems like it's part of the negotiation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that negotiation doesn't necessarily mean just, you know, coming up with a long-term deal. I mean, it could certainly be part of the equation is Chris Jones and his camp trying to position themselves to get the Chiefs to give them some, you know, wiggle room and give them a way out. You know, say, hey, you know what? Chris Jones will play in 2020. He'll play under the franchise tag. We want you to promise that you're not going to tag him again in 2021.
Right.
I mean, that could be part of the agreement. So there's a lot that, I mean, I think is still going into this. And the fact that there could be an agreement before the 15th, but maybe it's just not the agreement that I think a lot of fans want to see.
Do you think that that's terribly likely? Because, I mean, again, if you think about the Chiefs' leverage in this, like, Chris Jones can sit out this whole season and then have to do it all again next offseason. He could play under the tag and then get tagged again. The Chiefs could get a return on him by moving him. Do you think that the likelihood of one of those sort of non-long-term deals is on the table? And if so, what do you think it would look like? Is it what you just described? Are there other alternatives there?
I mean, I actually think that probably all the alternatives at least have some possibility, a non-zero possibility of happening. And you know what? I could argue that this, if you're a player who wants to hold out for a year and see what happens, this is the year to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because 100%. Who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah.
I mean, there might not be a season. So, you know, why invest yourself? Why put yourself at risk? Why chance, you know, an injury or anything else right now in this environment? Maybe it is. This is the time to sit back and see what happens. I could also see that this is a, you know, great way to parlay, because as we talked about, I mean, everything that the Chiefs have done has built towards run it back in 2020, and Chris Jones for 1 year is a big part of that. So if that means making a deal with Chris Jones, say, we want you back, we need you for camp, we want you here the whole season, and we promise if you play out this season, we won't tag you again next year, I actually think that'd be a really good deal for the Chiefs if it gets Chris Jones in the camp. That's why, I mean, I could see all possibilities happening before Wednesday, and I don't know if there's anyone that's more likely than the others at this point.
Just to be as clear as possible, on that potential, like, again, whatever, it ends up being a one-year deal for $16.126 million like it is right now, but there's language in the deal that he can't be tagged or whatever. Do you think that the trade-off there would be worth it for the Chiefs? Because the thing that I get hung up on is, if you're going to go through all of this with Chris Jones, at least you have the option, looking ahead to 2021, of being able to tag him for a second time and then move him before the draft as the market's a little more locked in. Do you think the Chiefs would essentially give up that opportunity to know he'd be playing in 2020?
I mean, for what this team has planned, yeah, I mean, I think I would take that trade, because I think at this point, and, you know, and Brett Veach probably, maybe he said a little bit more than he planned to, or maybe it was just a little bit of foreshadowing, or maybe he was trying to throw a high fastball. But when he said after the Mahomes signing that, you know, you don't want guys to get to their final year and get into the franchise tag designation because it makes it contentious.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, clearly that's what the Chiefs are with Chris Jones.
Yeah.
And so I think anything that puts this to bed for them for the 2020 season, I think it's in their best interest. And because, and if they do not get him signed before July 15th, then I think it's evident that he's not going to sign a long-term deal in Kansas City. I mean, that diminishes once you get past that deadline. So if you've resigned yourself, both sides have resigned themselves that this would be Chris Jones's last year, then yeah, I mean, I think at this point you're the Chiefs, you're probably looking for what's the best deal to, you know, make Chris Jones happy and get him in early. And I think that, you know, the other thing to me with all of this is just that if the Chiefs don't get something done with Chris Jones, and then I think it becomes evident that they were just too far apart on the terms. And then the question is going to be, well, why didn't you maybe trade Chris Jones for draft picks if you couldn't get something done long term? And it's increasingly looking like maybe the answer there is just that the market was not there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if other teams don't value Chris Jones in, you know, a certain way, then why would the Chiefs value Chris Jones? I mean, that's what that's why I keep saying there's a lot of moving parts to this, because the Chiefs don't have just a binary option of just either sign Chris Jones or try and tag him. There's a lot of other possible outcomes. And yeah, I mean, moving Chris Jones was a possibility, but they didn't do it.
So now, again, with the deadline Wednesday at 3:00 Central, what do you think the likelihood is that there's a long-term deal, that there's any sort of deal, and then if there's not one, that he plays in 2020 for the Chiefs?
Man, I would probably say, I'd say 50% that he plays this year under the franchise tag or some type of one-year deal. I think there's probably a 25% chance that there's a, in fact, it's probably too high, 20% chance, I guess, on the high end, that there's a long-term deal that gets done. I mean, I can't rule that out. I mean, I don't think it's going to happen, but
mm-hmm.
I think there's a chance of it. And then probably, I guess, the other 30% would be that there's some sort of hybrid, like I said, that, you know, whether it's just a, even if it's a handshake deal that we don't know about, that there's some type of other arrangement that the two sides make, decide to play this season or to just get through this year and then see what happens after the season.
I'm glad that we're coming up on the deadline just so we can know what we're working with. I'm guessing the Chiefs probably feel similarly, but it is also still, I'm more frustrated with it than I thought I would be. So I will end on this. Could I interest you in a delicious serving of Willie's Meat Roaf?
Wow.
With a side of Trent's greens. And a sweet nectar of the end zone cocktail to wash it all down.
The Willie's Meat Roaf sounds both fantastic and disgusting
yeah.
at the same time.
Yeah, it contains multitudes. It is complex.
Yeah, that is... Yeah. I mean, I kind of need to see it.
Yeah.
But, I need to come up with a chief pun for some mashed potatoes or something, because that's what I need with my meat roof.
We've turned into Scooby-Doo trying to order human food now. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, Josh.
Matt Derrick of Chiefs Digest. Follow him on Twitter at Matt Derrick. Check out his books at last. Is on triumphbooks.com. The link is in his Twitter. You can see all of it there. And help him get to a place where we can find a Chiefs player to have some meatloaf for. We'll probably do more Chiefs food puns and definitely talk more Chris Jones whenever we come back.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
More football, more sushi, more cocaine, more Almost Entirely Sports.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Thanks again to Matt Derrick for joining us and always entertaining all of our nonsense. We will continue taking your suggestions like Steve Spagnacotti. Eric Biener Schnitzel. I am absolutely ordering a sweet nectar of the end zone, though. I am gargling it. I almost tried to make a gargling noise, and then I decided it would be too unpleasant to hear. It would be too unpleasant for me to hear once a night for the rest of my life, because it would be a immortal liner. I guess I could have just taken a drink and then, yeah, but anyway, it's too late to do retroactive Foley work. Anyway. Matt Derrick just tweeted it. Of course, this hits me after I'm off the air. Mike Penale pizza with Alex Fried Okra 4. Alex Fried Okra 4 is excellent. The one thing that we didn't really get that I sort of saw when we were talking to Matt, and we ended up kind of running out of runway a little bit. The Chiefs, if you look at the difference between what the Niners did in terms of trading DeForest Buckner and where the Chiefs are at right now in terms of their defensive line, the Niners traded Buckner to the Colts and then took Javon Kinlaw with that pick at 14 overall. They do that while also paying both Dee Ford and Arik Armstead, and they have Nick Bosa, who's not super expensive at the moment, but is excellent. Even Solomon Thomas is pretty high up as far as what they're spending there. I'm sure they're leading the league in pass rush spending, and I don't know if I can view that easily right now in terms of using over the cap as the tool right now, but the thing there isn't that I think that every team needs to spend that kind of money on their defensive line, and in fact, I would argue that in most circumstances, I would rather be spending my money on secondary players in terms of, like, the secondary, like, defensive backs, not, like, second-tier players. I'd rather be spending my money on defensive backs. I think Chris Jones is an outlier that gets to a point of being so impactful like Aaron Donald would be, and not that he is as impactful as Aaron Donald. That's not fair or true. But that's money I would spend, even as that is not my inclination, which I feel like should tell you something about where I'm valuing Chris Jones. The Chiefs just not matching that valuation is really confusing to me. And the reason that I mentioned where the Niners are at there, though, is they're gonna be worse at the position without DeForest Buckner. But they have other investments across that line that you feel like there was an embarrassment of riches there, and they drafted Kinlaw. You know, Matt mentions Colin Saunders as, you know, like a pre-losing Chris Jones move, and I think that's fair. But also, he could be a rotational piece on this defense with Chris Jones ahead of him, and no one would bat an eye. Like, no one would be like, oh man, that Colin Saunders pick really got wasted because he only plays, he's your third defensive tackle. Derek Nnadi, Derek Nnadi and Colin Saunders were both the high draft picks. Neither of them are Chris Jones or much close to that at this point. They're guys that have ultimately been good players and can be really excellent in a second or third kind of rotational role. Mike Pennell comes in and plays really well. I'm glad the Chiefs are able to bring him back. That's all great. I don't know how I feel. Actually, I do know. I do know how I feel about what that defensive line ends up looking like whenever Chris Jones isn't a part of it, as it currently stands. The other thing from what Matt threw out there that I 100% believe this is on the table, I'm just telling you that this makes me nervous. I don't think, here's where I think I would disagree with Matt, not on like a factual basis, but on a preference basis. I think I would rather make Chris Jones make the call on playing under the tag or not. I would rather make him make that call than give up the control of being able to tag him again next year. I do buy, at least to some extent, the idea that if he was tagged a second time and the Chiefs was like, hey, just play for us under the tag again, the number would be higher, obviously, but it would still be payable, even though next year is a little bit more complicated because we don't know where the cap is right now or what it's going to be. So it could be more complicated. Contract structured in a way where you expected the cap to go up, and it probably won't. I think there's a real chance that he would sit out then, but if you really are, if the Chiefs are telling me, you know, if they're saying, hey, Josh, come make the calls, but you can't sign Chris Jones, we forbid it, what would you do now? I'd say, well, I would have been interested in the market pre-draft. There was clearly an appetite for Buckner there, and even then, I wouldn't have given that up for the 14th pick. I actually can't remember if it was 14 or 13. The Niners ended up picking 14, but those picks had gotten swapped at some point, so I can't remember when they swapped and whatnot. But I wouldn't have traded Chris Jones for the 14th overall pick because I would have paid Chris Jones. If it was determined that wouldn't be happening, then I would be fascinated if Chris Ballard valued Buckner over Jones. That would have been really interesting. It'd be interesting to know that. I'm guessing that he probably did, I guess, because I imagine that if the Chiefs got that offer, they very well could have taken it. Unless, what I would suggest here is if you're saying you can't sign Chris Jones, but you get to control what happens, I think I would say, hey, Chris, here's what I can work with. $16 million is a lot of money you don't have right now. I know that's not what you want to hear, but it's all we can do. And we want to win another Super Bowl. And then next offseason is going to come around, and I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to tag you again, and then we are going to work with you and your agents to find you a destination that is going to pay you the most money. I'm not allowed to pay you to keep you in Kansas City. It would be my preference. But since I can't, we will work with you next offseason to get you to a place you're happy to go to. Even if this means that it's to a team that picks 18 instead of a team that picks 12, we're going to send you somewhere you're going to be happy, and that is going to pay you the type of money that you're looking for. That's what we can do for you. I wouldn't give up that option next year for the confidence that he would play in 2020. I think I would just have to try to force his hand. Again, though, Matt mentions, if there's ever a year that you can just not play and feel like all of that makes sense in one off or over the course of one season, it would be this one. There might not be a season. It might be limited. It might be shortened. It might have players opting out for non-contractual reasons. It might be unhealthy. You might be on a franchise tag and no one wants to play because if something happens to them while they're waiting to get their big payday, there's not that payday coming anymore. All totally on the table. But I don't think I would give up the ability to trade Chris Jones next offseason for the assurance of him actually playing in 2020. But also, I would have paid him. So, clearly I'm not. Clearly, I'm not in charge. Can I interest you in a garden salad topped with croyle and vinegar?
Have we figured out what to do with Tano yet?
No. And I haven't even thought about Tano passing you. There's so much real estate in there to work with. I have no idea.
I feel like it's an appetizer or something that you don't want to pass to somebody, but I don't know what it is.
I mean, if you're just going like defensive end room, there's something with Taco and Tano probably. I don't know. I can't solve all of these. Someone did say, though, there's no mints on the way out. You don't get little mints on the table. You just get packs of Big Red gum.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I got a joke, guys. I got a joke. It's going to be real dumb. We are here that whenever Beards is on his phone, we are going to say no pass a notes.
With Joshua Briscoe.
You're right. That was dumb.
I know it was dumb.
Though.
We're here to say, ta, no pass a notes in this class.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I'm just reading Chiefs puns at this point. Courtesy Bolt has tweeted, the shady, four bites in, the server takes the plate, says she'll bring it right back, and then never does. I'm continuing that one to you hear a crash. She has fumbled the sandwich. Why was she carrying it with one hand, waving it around?
Or on the menu, it just says the shady or whatever, and it's just they bring you a loaf of bread.
It's pretty good. Or maybe the shady sandwich is just the entire thing is just covered in oil, so you can never really get a good handle on it. It's just always slipping through your hands. Like, remember those like jelly filled toys or whatever? Like, the whole thing was that you can't hold on, like they slip. How did those work? I would have a dang astrophysicist on this show if they could explain to me how those little jelly slippy things worked. Was the actual like surface area like rolling on itself, you know, like rolling through the tube, and therefore you could never really
I think
get
it was
a grip?
Just like momentum of whatever liquid was inside as well.
I have no idea. It's totally plausible. My guess is that the like plastic film surface or whatever just kind of kept folding into itself. I don't know. We think this is gonna sound strange. We think the show is over.
New system.
I mentioned earlier there's a new system. We're just still working out the kinks. It's a kinky system. Beards is working on it. How are your kinks, Beards?
They're fine.
Getting worked out?
I don't know. We're going to find out.
So we think the show is over, and if that's the case, we think we'll be back tomorrow night, and we'll have Seth Kaiser on, all of the usual goodness. There's a small chance that this segment will wrap up, and if you stick around through a commercial break, that we'll start again, and we'll talk some baseball. And there's also a chance that this is the end of the show. So we'll either talk to you in a few minutes or tomorrow. Bye, Mom!
You are listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.